The fate of a bill that had removed some Arizona voters from the permanent early voting list could rest with something happening about 2 miles away from the state capitol. With me now, as he is every Monday during the legislative session, to discuss the week ahead at 1700 West Washington, is Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Good morning, Howie.
Good morning. Yes, another fine week here of government in action.
So speaking of action from last week, which may happen more action this week or maybe not, let's talk about this PEVL bill, the permanent early voting list. There was an effort to make some significant changes to it last week. Those efforts were derailed when State Senator Kelly Townsend, a Republican, said she's not voting for this bill or any election bill until after the audit of Maricopa County election results and ballots is done at the Coliseum. So how hard fast a rule do you think that is for her? Like, do you think she's not going to vote for any of this stuff really until after that audit is done?
Well, she has nothing to lose at this point. First of all, you know, they are only 16 Republicans and none of the Democrats are voting for any of these bills. So if she holds out, you just don't have the votes for it. She's also a little miffed. Senator Miguel Ugenti-Reader called it a temper tantrum, that a lot of her bills never got a hearing, or if it got a hearing, it didn't go any farther. She had some stricter things. For example, she wanted to say if you got an early ballot, you had to return it in person. That went absolutely nowhere. So she figures, okay, if the whole purpose of having election bills is to see how we make the process better, but we're in the middle of an audit to find out what went wrong, why are we acting on this now rather than waiting until the end of the audit? So she figures, why not? Look, what have I got to lose? I don't know that Ms. Townsend is running for re-election in 2022. I don't know what her political future is. She figures she might as well use the power she has.
Right.
The other thing that she's pointing out is theoretically, yes, you could reenact some of these same things next legislative session. But here's the problem. Most bills don't take effect until 90 days after the end of session, which would mean that theoretically you could have a bill passed in 2022, but it wouldn't take effect until after the August primary. And that causes all sorts of chaos because you have the primary run under one set of rules and then the general under a whole nother set of rules.
Right. So, Howie, one of the other major bills in terms of attention from last week was this very fairly wide-ranging abortion bill that both chambers of the legislature passed. It was not, however, transmitted to the governor because of a timing issue, but the governor will have to act on that this week, right?
Exactly. Assuming that the Senate does get its act together, does transmit it today, he has 5 days to sign it, which technically makes Saturday the last day. The assumption is he won't wait till Saturday. I think there's probably a lot of pressure on him to just do something quickly on it. There are a lot of people who are calling his office. There's a petition drive being dropped off later today. This is a sensitive issue. Nobody's views are going to be changed. On one hand, this governor has always signed abortion restrictions. That's just been his personal belief. On the other hand, you have every medical group in the state saying, why would you want to make felons out of doctors, nurses, clerical staff who are making a judgment about whether a fetus has a genetic defect, whether that was the sole reason that the mother chose to get it, and whether with a genetic defect, the fetus would survive for a certain number of months outside the womb, which is one of those exceptions. There's a lot of doctors who are very concerned about this. Now, from the perspective of the folks who don't like abortions, they're just as happy. They say, look, fewer abortions is a good thing for whatever reason. And this is one of the exceptions we think we can find to Roe versus Wade that would allow the state to step in.
Right. All right. So we'll look for the governor to act on that sometime this week. Howie, last bill I want to ask you about, and normally I would not, I don't think either you nor I should really be talking about hair in any meaningful way, but the people who cut it, there is a bill that is dealing that would affect some of those folks, right?
I want you to know that I am insulted that you would suggest that my shiny dome would have any effect on how I feel about it.
It was mostly a reflection on my ridiculous hair right now.
Yes. So you've got a situation where there is a state board of barbers and there's a state board of cosmetologists. And a lot of folks are wondering, why do we have two separate boards with two separate staffs with all sorts of stuff duplicated? Hair is hair. Is boy hair different than girl hair? Or in my case, is no hair different than anybody? So you've got a question of why do this? So there's a bill up today to combine the two boards. Now, the boards are not happy because they say, well, we have unique situations. The cosmetologists, for example, are pointing out our members deal with harsh chemicals. But the cosmetologists have always sort of had an overreach. Remember, the legislature had to go in and tell the cosmetologists, no, you can't regulate hair braiders. No, you can't regulate people who are plucking eyebrows. The barbers, meanwhile, say, well, we're just as happy with what we've got. But of course, that also gets to the question of why are we regulating barbers? As Jim Skelly said years ago when he tried to get rid of the barber board, nobody dies from a bad haircut. So this is one of those sensitive issues. It's been around as long as I've been covering the Capitol. Whether they actually managed to fix it today or whether it's just a temporary fix, who knows?
And when we talk about you've been covering the Capitol for a while, you actually had hair when you started, right?
Oh, I had hair. You know, I've been covering the Capitol since 82. And let me tell you that my my front on view now is a little different than my front on view back on my press card back then.
All right. That is Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Howie, we love you just the way you are. Thank you.
Oh, bless your heart.